All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, let's read verse 8. Bible says, if thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. This is a verse that we need to read during the time we're living in here. Did y'all listen to what it said?
Yes.
If thou seest oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. Well, we do, don't we? That's what we're seeing. What is all this junk going on in the Congress and the politics and all of this? What is all this stuff? It's violent perverting of justice and judgment.
Yes,
by just a handful of hotshots that think they've got a hold of everything. And most of the ones who are calling the shots, I was reading there today, they're like 79, 80 years old. So marvel not at the matter. Don't despair. Don't think there's no hope. They'll die just like all men die. And it won't be long for them. And they'll be out of the way regardless. The important thing to remember is, like I say to you often, it's the way it is right now, it ain't always going to stay this way. So when you see these things, just remember that he that is higher than the highest regardeth. He that is higher than the highest of them. That's what it's talking about. These earthly authorities and rulers that pervert justice and violently distort judgment and all that. He is higher than the highest of them. And there be higher than they. Not only is God higher than them, there's rulers on earth higher than them. That's one of the things that these Congress people of our country have forgotten. They think they are at the top of the authority in this country. And they will be the first to go when it's done. And that's what's going to happen eventually. They're going to lose their job. The dumb populace that's been dumbed down and brainwashed and are so foolish, they won't put them out. You couldn't put them out. They can promise you a watch or a phone. They'll vote for them. But it doesn't matter what they're going to do. So that's hopeless. Forget that. But they're going to be done. Just marvel not at the matter. Let me just say a few things here. Authority is arranged in an orderly fashion. Somebody, Kim, you was talking about a thing about the article you put on there, and I never even seen it, but I've been saying this for years and preaching a lot about order and confusion and God's order in the earth and how it's been distorted and destroyed, and that's why we got confusion and sin and anarchy is upon us because of no order. But authority is arranged in an orderly fashion, and the people who founded this country arranged it in an orderly fashion. But the order has been all scrambled up, see? Among men on earth, the earth is divided into provinces or areas of jurisdiction. You know, we don't have any say about what goes on in North Korea or China or anywhere else. You know, a lot of the things that go on in Illinois next to us, well, we don't have nothing to say about that. We don't live there. We have rulers in our county. Well, in our city, in our county, in our state, and then in our country that we live in. And it's all levels of authority. And there's always a struggle between these authorities about who's got the authority. That's what you're seeing now. See, like in the state of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, the people over there always call it the Communist State of Virginia instead of the Commonwealth of Virginia. But that's about the way it is. They've decided to make all these laws, and that's against the will of the people, and the people are in all of the counties. I don't even know how many counties in Virginia now, but the vast majority of the counties in Virginia have voted to be sanctuary counties. In other words, it don't matter what you say in the state capitol, we're not obeying it. We're not going to abide by it. And the sheriffs are saying, we ain't either. And they all went to Richmond a couple of weeks ago with their guns. And it's what I was telling the preacher last night, and we talked about it at home, and I tried to point out, you got war is what you got. When you put 20-some thousand people armed against the government, it ain't a protest, it ain't a rally, it's war.
Yes, sir.
When you put numbers against numbers and arms, you're not playing games anymore. You're declaring war. They cannot stop that many people that are armed with the police. They can't do it. They have to bring an army. And then what do you got? War. That's what you got. War. So it's authorities conflicting, see? There's conflict between the authorities. Instead of staying in their ranks like they're supposed to be, in the order they're supposed to be in, it's all messed up. And the authorities are fighting one against another. Each province or area of jurisdiction has a ruler or a judge or both. And these rulers are individual men. And they might be righteous or they might be wicked. And there's always both kinds. You can have a righteous judge. You can have a righteous governor. You can have a righteous president or congressman. But you can have the other also. And so they may care for the people and truly have the good of the people at heart. Some of them may do that. We've been studying David. He was that kind of a king. He cared about the people. He looked at himself as put there by God as a servant and a caretaker and a shepherd of the people. But not all of them are like that. They may use their position only to enrich themselves and abuse the people in order to do so. Well, now, we all know that the majority of those in this sin-cursed world who get to a position of authority, that's exactly what they are. They're just there to enrich themselves and to please themselves, and they'll do anything to anybody to get there and to stay there. And since all earthly rulers are simply men, we can surely expect to see oppression and violent perverting of judgment and justice at times. You're not always going to get justice in the courts of this land or any other. And as bad a shape as we've gotten in, you're more likely to get it in some other country than you are here. That's the truth. I mean, it's just not set up to be fair and to be just. It has been violently perverted. When you can lose your livelihood and all of your life because you won't make a cake for a sodomite, that's violent perverting of justice. Yes, sir. When you can lose everything you've got because of something you did when you was in high school 40 years ago, that's violent perverting of justice. And it's like in Israel when judgment was turned around backwards and truth was fallen in the street. That's exactly the same thing as what he's talking about here. He said, you're going to see it. And when you see it, don't marvel about it. I mean, don't marvel not at the matter. Because it's common. This has been a common thing in the kingdoms of men since the beginning of this whole deal. Since men are sinners, we can expect to see it most of the time. You know, how long has it been since we really, really had a president who was a real Christian, who you might consider a real Christian? Well, it's been longer than any of us remember. You've never seen one in your lifetime. I don't care how old you are here tonight. They've all claimed to be. Even Obama claimed to be a Christian. Yeah. Said he would always side with the Muslims when it come down to the showdown. Wrote it in his book. Said that. But at the same time said he was a Christian. Jimmy Carter was a born-again Christian. Yes, sir. He's for abortion. He hates Israel. But he's a born-again Christian. Now, you know, we've got Trump. And a lot of people believe he's a Christian. I don't. Not for a minute. He's no Christian. Well, he doesn't have to be a Christian to be a leader. When are we ever going to get that? When are these knuckleheads going to get it that try to condemn everybody who claims to be a Christian for voting for Trump? That's not the deal here. Rulers, they're going to be both ways. This earth is not a theocracy nowhere. I mean, and in this country, it's certainly not. We don't get to elect only born-again Christians to public office. There was a time when it was kind of looked at that way, but even then it didn't happen. No, sir. And so, if there were no more to the equation than this, the picture would be pretty dark. But let me tell you something, there is a little more to it than this. I mean, the fact that we live in a sinful world, and most of the people who are going to rise to power, in fact, almost all of them that are going to rise to power are going to be wicked people. That sounds bad and gloomy. But that's not all of the story. Even in earthly authority, there's always one higher in rank. Now, everybody's got to answer to somebody. There ain't nobody that lives on this earth that's in any position but what they're going to have to answer to somebody else. There's somebody who can bring them down. Now, a lot the big weakness in these kind of rulers is that they don't believe that and they don't see that. They think they're going to sit forever like old Nebuchadnezzar. You know, ain't nobody. And like the Jews when they said, you know, we sit as a queen. Nobody's going to touch us. Nobody can. We have all the power. But Nebuchadnezzar got showed that he could be taken down. All authority must submit to the higher authority. Now a king ain't worth nothing. He's a wicked man unless he's submitted to God. Unless he realizes God is above him in everything he does. He ain't going to be nothing but a wicked, oppressive king. All men are not wicked. Thank God for that. God created man in his own image. And therefore man has a sense of justice that he can't escape. Even wicked people have that sense of justice. You hear me? Even wicked people have that sense of justice. This sense of justice cries out when injustice, violence, and perverting of justice is running unchecked. Are you listening to me? Everybody's got this sense of justice because we're made in the image and likeness of God, and he's a just God. And so we know it when we see it. That's the basis for a lot of books and movies and stories and TV shows and all of that. It's the bad guys and the good guys. And when somebody's mistreated and treated unfairly, boy, man, people get irate about it. You know, funny, but when I was in high school, we did the wrestling match. You know, me and Alvis, we were the good guys in the tag team wrestling match, and the other guys were the bad guys, and it was all laid out. And, oh, they just cheated, and they treated us well. They beat the blood out of me and throwed me plumb across the gym and everything. And while the ref was being distracted, and, you know, that was the whole game, to get the crowd in such a frenzy and angry that they would be so excited about it. It's entertainment, see? And boy, they did. I'm telling you. People they just lose their cool completely when somebody is being mistreated and ain't nobody doing nothing about it. Nobody likes the bad guys. Even the bad guys don't like the bad guys. You hear me? So that's another optimistic thing to look about in this situation, in this world that we live in, and these unjust governments that are over us, and these crooked politicians that are doing all this dirty stuff. Even the bad guys don't like them. There's no honor among thieves. And so their own kind are their enemy, and their own kind will get them many times and bring them down. It ain't the good guys that have to bring them down. The bad guys will bring them down sometimes. And a lot of times that don't improve the lot for everybody else. But it just proves the point that nobody is setting as an authority unchallenged, untouchable. There's somebody that can remove them and put them down. And it happens, and it happens, and it happens. Marvel not at the matter. They're just there for a short time. I saw the other day, it was a story, and it was about King Charles I, I believe I got that right. But anyway, they chopped his head off with an axe back in 1400 and something, or somewhere back there, 1500. They had a big, you know, don't you? 16 what? There you go. You're right. I remember reading it. That's exactly how it was. 1649. Boy, it's a good thing. It's a good thing you read, Jacob, because that's a help. But anyway, they're selling his robe or something that he was wearing when they chopped his head off because it's got stains on it, and so it's worth a lot of money and all that, you know. But he was the king of England. And they carted him out there and chopped his head off with an axe. He was the king. He was calling the shots. He was saying, ain't nobody going to bother me. I'm the king. Well, he wasn't the king after they chopped his head off. That ended that. There is one higher than thee. Just remember that. Everybody needs to remember that. Somebody needs to tell these congressmen and congresswomen and congress fools, children, some of them children that are in there. Oh, my goodness. And these kings parked around the world in their little dark kingdoms, that there's one higher than you. You better have a hole to run to, because somebody's going to get you one of these days. You ain't going to live and die and do violent perverting of justice and judgment. Somebody will get you. And if it ain't the good guys, the bad guys will get you. And if neither one of them get you, God in heaven will get you. So, when those in authority cease to act according to justice, the people will rise up against them. And other authorities will also rise up against them. And this sense of justice that I'm talking about here, it's strong enough to move people to action. Even authorities who might be partakers in the injustice themselves. Did you ever watch the drama as it unfolds in these little third world countries whenever, you know, when the people do rise up and they say, we've had enough and we're doing it. Well, boy, you see all kinds of maneuvering and political maneuvering and shifting around. And the guys that were associated with him, now, boy, they pull away and say, well, we ain't got nothing to do with him. You know, they were his buddies and his backers. But when they see he's fixing to lose, they jump over to the other side. You see what I mean? Even the ones who are partakers of the injustice and all for it, they'll swap sides. And they do it the other way also. That's what's happened in the last 15 years in our country here, or less. We've seen people, there's tons of these politicians. Obama was one who was dead set against homosexual marriage when he ran for president. But 2 years later, he was all for it. Because the winds of the media and the public opinion that was created by all of the propaganda and everything swayed a little that way, so they swayed. They always got the finger in there just listening, feeling for which way the wind's blowing, and that's the way they go. So it works both ways, see? But these mean, evil, cruel leaders, rulers, judges who pervert justice violently, they don't realize what a perilous position they are in. You are not going to do that for long. Somebody's going to get you. The people will get you. Your own buddies will get you. Or God will get you. You're going to stop it. You're going to stop it. Somebody's going to stop you. Ask old Saddam Hussein. You know, you've read stuff he's done with his enemies. You know, I read about him sitting at the table with all of his men, you know, in their conference. And he got mad at one of them. He pulled his pistol out and just shot him. Killed him right there at the table. He used to, you know, I don't even like to say things like this, but he used wood chippers. And he would take what was left and set it on the porch of the people's houses. He was cruel. You may think he was a fine guy or a decent guy, or he kept order, and you know, you can say a lot of things about him, but he was violently perverted justice and judgment. But I saw a picture of him laying on the floor with his neck stretched. And I saw him as he crawled out of the hole, as they drug him up out of the hole in the ground where he was hiding to escape what he had coming to him. Nobody ought to cry over that. But there's all kinds of videos and pictures of him riding high, boy, riding high. Rich and living the life of luxury and power. And he was the king and the ruler, and he called the shots, and he was a big man. But he wasn't so big when he ended. And he did end. He came to an end, a violent end. Other authorities will rise up against him. And that's just the way it is here. Fear of losing their own position, they'll deal with another corrupt authority. I mean, they make all kinds of alliances and partnerships. That's the way this world works. When one gets out of hand, everybody will move away from him and move to another. They might even act out of selfishness with the prospect of having authority over more people. They see an opportunity to exalt themselves and get themselves in a better position. All this works to the downfall of these rulers who pervert justice. God's a just God. Puts a high value on justice. Yes. That is, do you know just and righteousness? It's the same thing. The words are interchangeable in the Word of God. A just man is a righteous man. And righteous means he's righteous. It don't mean that he's just got a title or a paper somewhere that's licensed him to be righteous while he continues to do evil. No, it means he really is righteous. He's a just man. He treats others fairly, rightly, righteously. See? And so, they might even act out of selfishness. And, you know, by delivering them from their oppressor, they'll have the opportunity to oppress them also. They're just looking to take his place. You got all these things working. I just hope you see what I'm talking about here. But there's one who is higher than the highest. There's a God in heaven who's higher than any earthly authority. And he's watching what goes on, too. Psalm 75, verse 7. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Now, it don't matter how big the man is, no matter how many are with him, no matter how powerful, supported connections he's got, doesn't matter where he stands among men. It's God who puts him up or sets him down. God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Putteth down comes first. God only just allows men to go so far. When they get too far, God himself deals with them. What was the big shot's name down in Venezuela? I can't even remember his name. Chavez. Yeah. And he was, boy, going to just take over everything. I mean, he's going to take over the world even. He was big shot. Got cancer and died. Just a few months, he's gone. Herod was that way too. You know what happened to him? Worms ate him right in front of everybody. Just that quick. When the people said, he's just like a god. I mean, he had the praise of the people, and everybody said, oh, he's just like God. The worms ate him right there. You think God won't do something about it when he gets tired? Don't you get too excited. Marvel not at this matter. Don't get too excited. Don't get too worried. Don't get too concerned or anxious about it. God is watching from heaven. There's a cry somehow. I don't know what it means or how it is exactly. I got some ideas, but like when they came down to Sodom, they said they come down there to see. They came down to see if the cry that was heard in heaven was really as bad as it sounded. So there's a cry. God said that Abel's blood cried to him from the ground. The wickedness of man, the wickedness of a nation makes a noise in heaven somehow. And God hears it. And when it gets to a certain point, God moves to bring down whatever's causing this. Whoever's allowing this, whoever's causing it, God's going to deal with them and bring them down. Eglon was removed from power by Ehud's dagger. Remember that?
Yes.
Come in there and said, I got a gift from God. I got a message from God for you. He said, well, what is it? He pulled out a dagger about 18 inches long and stuck it in his big fat belly until the haft went in. Until the dirt came out, it says. As in Eglon, he was done. He was that kind of a guy. Had it coming. God stopped him. Belshazzar was taken out of the way in one evening, having a big drunken party. And he got the bright idea to go get those golden vessels that they took out of the temple in Jerusalem and let us drink wine out of them. Oh, bad move, Belshazzar. That's the last thing he ever done. He died that night. He looked up and saw the hand, as it were, a hand writing on the wall. Now it weighed in the balances and found wanting. No more Belshazzar. The country was in a much better shape the next morning.
Yes, sir.
Because God moved. Well, do you think God cares any less about our country? About His people in our country right now? You think He cares any less? Think He don't know what's going on? Think He's... that God's dead? Or do you think He's given up? You think he's changed somehow? No, not at all. Look at them. Look what they're doing. Look at your news tomorrow and see what kind of foolish wickedness they come up with tomorrow. And just realize that the Bible says you shouldn't marvel at that matter. Because we know how this is going to work out. Them people are going to be sorry, sorry. They're going to pay dearly for what they're doing. And it will come quickly. And here we are, and they're all old and can't even hardly stand. You know, Nancy Pelosi, my goodness. That woman ain't got enough mind about her till she can even talk anymore and make any sense. She just babbles and mumbles and just talks nonsense, and she ain't got enough of her left and here we're worried about what she's going to do. She's going to drop dead. Or she's going to end up in a nursing home, you know, drugged down to the bed because crazy. We shouldn't be worried about these people. We know there's a God in heaven who's watching them. We know there's other powers working against them too. I mean, everything is against them. They're not going to prosper. Not going to prosper. Psalm 17, verse 13. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him. Cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. Did you get that? Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. What is the sword of the Lord that He uses on this earth? The wicked. He sure does. He uses them as a sword. So if He's going to deal with a wicked ruler, who's He going to use to deal with the wicked ruler? The church going to rise up in arms and go overthrow the government? Nope. The church is not His sword. The church is His body. The wicked, He'll use them. There's plenty of them. And they're ready and willing to do the deed.
Yes, sir.
And when they do it and get the power, and then they start in the same stuff, there's somebody standing in line to get them. Marvel not at the matter. Don't be perplexed or wonder how this can be. It just ain't fair, and it just shouldn't be this way. And why does it have to be this way? Because you live in this world, that's why. A world full of sinful men and women. And it ain't ever going to be any different until Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom here. Not going to be any different. Marvel not. Shouldn't wonder about it. Wicked people rule this world. Wicked people sit in the high places of this world. And the only influence that sways them at all to do any different is God's people. And God's people have become, you know, they've lost their savor. And they're good for nothing. And so the wicked are on the ascent. And they're in the high places. And that's why we've got all this now. But it's God's world. He made it. It belongs to Him. This universe does. These little people like ants that are like worms that are making all this trouble and thinking that they run the universe, God's not going to have one trouble dealing with them in due time. If He waited until the fullness of time to send His Son, He'll wait till the fullness of time. The fullness of time. He didn't. The Amorites were not yet. Their iniquity was not yet come to the full. There's a mark. When it gets to the full mark, God says, that's it. We're not there yet. It's hard to believe, ain't it? When you look around you and see what all is going on, and can't believe it. You know, I see all the people, and we've been talking about people and the hopelessness of their lives and the children just being wasted in the wickedness and filthiness of this. You know, if it's up to me, I would say, Lord, do it now. But the Lord knows better than I do. And He will do it in the right time. We just need to not quit worrying about this, being perplexed about it, being troubled about it. Let's just trust God with it all. And I guarantee you, we won't be disappointed there. Don't despair and think that it'll continue this way forever. Because it's not. It won't. It never has. It never will. And it's not going to now either. It's not going to continue this way. The wicked may be in authority today, but their reign is usually short. They self-destruct, or they're taken down by a higher or another authority. They seldom have enough sense to continue in power because they set no boundaries for themselves in their abuse of the power and of other people. They don't set any boundaries. They get drunk on it, and they quit being careful, and they just self-destruct. They destroy themselves. You go so far, and somebody's going to stop you. Might be another bad guy. He's got a conscience. He's got a sense of justice. And he might be the one that stops you. While you're thinking him, he's your buddy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They just go so far, though, and then they proceed no farther, the Bible says. So I've already mentioned Saddam Hussein and like Russia, the Soviet Union, big power brought down. Hitler, think how high old Hitler was riding and how fast he came down. I mean, you couldn't say anything critical about him or they'd kill you. But old Hitler died the death. Came to a point where he... So if there's no earthly deliverer and it becomes necessary, then God will step in and do something about it himself. If he has to rain fire and brimstone from heaven, he'll do it. That's right. If he has to blow up a volcano right next door to you, he'll do it. Bury you in a few minutes. Don't take God long. when he moves. It may take years and years and years before he does it, but when God moves, it don't take long. And you read in Revelation 17 about the daughter of Babylon. In 1 hour. 1 hour. Gone. 1 hour, that great city. Gone. Smokes all they can see left of it. So God deals with the wicked. Don't worry about it. Just trust God. Walk with God. And don't be troubled about all the evildoers. Don't despair. Don't get carried away in the counsel of the ungodly about how to deal with them either. Just wait and watch. You'll see. You'll see what happens to them. Wait until you see what happens to all these people that you see in the news all the time now running their big mouths. Watch. Amen. All right, let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the hope we have, the promises, the truths that you give us to help us in this way. We're living in evil times when rulers are evil and there's cruelty around the world and in our own country here, and the injustice is appalling, and it's frightening to us to realize we live in a place where anything can happen to us and we have no recourse and no way to be vindicated or justified. And Lord, I pray you'd help us just to walk circumspectly, not as fools. Help us, Lord, to trust you and wait on you and to pray. Pray for these leaders that are wicked, that you'd bring them down, or that they'd come to know you and change from their wicked, evil ways. Please help us, Lord, in these times not to be caught up in worldly causes and philosophies and ideas about how to deal with all of this. They're all very short-sighted and enclosed. They're not far-looking and far-reaching and looking in the Word of God. That we're not that way. We can see farther. We can see farther back. We can see farther forward. And we realize that we're just in a moving thing here, and we just need to wait on Thee. Please bless the time of fellowship, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.